What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
You are listening to a special edition iFanboy podcast on The Dark Knight Rises. iFanboy podcast on The Dark Knight Rises. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
We are from iFanboy.com, and we talk to you about the week's books in our Pick of the Week podcast, and we like to talk to you also about the comic book or superhero-inspired movies that come out, and we've been talking about The Avengers this summer and Amazing Spider-Man, and this is the big capper, The Dark Knight Rises, is out. It's the closing film in the Christopher Nolan, Christian Bale, Batman trilogy, and before we get to the film, and there will be spoilers in the discussion, so if you haven't seen the movie, you'll definitely be spoiled, so you may want to take that consideration. But before we get to the film, there's really no way to talk about the movie without talking about what happened in Aurora, Colorado. It's just what it is now. There's no way getting around it. So we might talk more in depth about our reaction to it at the end, but we just wanted to say, you know, this is a movie, and it's one thing, but real life is another, and our hearts and thoughts go out to everyone in there who is involved, anyone who knows anyone or just lives there, or and everyone who's been affected by
it. It feels.
It's just a pall hanging over this whole thing, and there's no way around it.
And that's why we're a bit subdued here as we talk about it, because there's no way to separate the two. And at least
right now in this early going time, it's just so raw.
So as Connor said, you know, absolutely, our, you know, all of our condolences and our, you know, like hearts go out to everyone in the Aurora, Denver, Colorado area, to the families of the victims, to the victims themselves. And this is never anything that we want to actually have to talk about.
And we're going to attempt to have fun talking about the movie itself as much as we can, because it's, you know, you have to try to do. So if we sound like we're having fun, it's not at the expense of what's happening. What's clearly on our minds.
We won't make dumb jokes about that.
No.
I guarantee it.
There'll be dumb jokes, just not about that.
Yeah, no, other things.
All right, so the movie.
So let's get to talking about the film. This... First of all, did you guys have the Superman teaser before your film?
I saw it in IMAX, so I had no trailers.
I had the Superman teaser.
How was it? Mine.
It was very short. It's not the one they showed in Comic-Con. It was probably 30 seconds long, but it was very cool, I have to admit. And everyone I talked to thought it was very cool as well. So there's that to deal with. But we'll deal with that next year. The Dark Knight Rises Part 3 takes place 8 years after the events, and I watched the two films back to back.
I didn't watch them back to back, but I watched.
No, it's back to back nights. I'm sorry. I watched Batman Begins Wednesday night. I watched Dark Knight Thursday night, and I went to the midnight showing of Dark Knight Rises after that. But it was good to have it all fresh in my head. So this place takes place 8 years after the events of The Dark Knight, in which Gotham City is in an era of peace, according to the Harvey Dent Act, which was passed to give the police greater powers against criminals. There's not a lot of crime in Gotham. Batman has not been seen since that night when Harvey Dent died, and they've taken the secret to the proverbial grave. No one knows that he was Two-Face. No one knows that he did all the killing. It's all been blamed on Batman, and Batman is at this point a myth, and the younger people don't even really know who he is, and that's where we're at when the movie opens. And this was a very interesting movie. One thing we were talking about as we left the theater was that each film has had a completely different tone to it.
Yep.
First film was like your almost pure superhero movie of the three. The second one was more like a crime thriller. This one was more like a disaster war movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
which is really interesting. I'm not sure how I feel about it, to be honest with you.
Really?
I really I enjoyed it, but it was so different that I wasn't prepared for that.
I consider that difference to be a strength.
No, I don't say it's a bad thing.
I agree with that. I assume that you went in fairly excited.
Oh, absolutely. I wore a Batman t-shirt. I'm never that guy. But, I mean, I did because that's how thrilled I was. And I think the thing is that also each film sort of feels so different, like a different world. The first movie feels almost... more exaggerated. The Wayne Tower is like this fictional building. There's these monorails all over the place. The second film is totally grounded and real in Chicago. And this third one goes off the wall.
This is going to go back to we're not going to talk about this right now. But this was the last movie was in Chicago. This one was basically New York.
Yeah.
And
Pittsburgh. I think they shot.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Personally, that made a big difference for me.
Yeah.
Specifically, but we'll talk about that one. Ron, where were you? I mean, you liked it. You don't like Batman that much, but you were.
No, I don't like Batman. And Batman Begins is all right. And after I rewatched it, I realized how weak it actually is. I think Dark Knight is an excellent film, and it's fantastic, and it deserved all the adulation this got. This one, I'm kind of with Connor in that I definitely liked it. I definitely appreciated the nuances of both the story and the technical production and how they put it all together. I mean, it is such a Nolan is such a gifted filmmaker and his whole team that works with him and stuff like that. But I was uncomfortable for a lot of this movie for a bunch of different reasons. I found it to be assaulting, both visually and, just kind of, I don't say emotionally, you know, but emotionally is probably the closest it was. Like I was tense for the majority of the movie. And I think that was on purpose, but yeah. I also brought, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I brought some of my own baggage into it that made me a little more tenser and all that sort of stuff. But, it was good. I think the denouement or the epilogue or whatever the denouement, the Hobbits walking home was probably one of the best endings of any of the superhero movies.
That's a good point.
We had reports of people bawling in the theater and crying and stuff like that. I didn't cry. I got a little teary eyed, but it ranged the gamut from deeply emotional to intensely optimistic and like excited and you know, honestly, like I was like, this is the last one? No, you know,
so, it really was. Yeah. It's tough because Nolan has said, you know, this is my story. It's a 3-part story. I'm ending the story, the Batman story, my Batman story. And so you're wondering. The speculation was Bruce Wayne going to die? Everyone thought that. I thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
When it happens, and what happens, we'll get to that in a little bit. And there's that, as Ron said, the denouement. I thought, wow, I didn't see this coming, but it's perfect. Like it's a perfect sort of ending to the Nolan story.
Yep.
My overall feeling, I was not terribly looking forward to it. By the time I got there, I was like, all right, I'm looking forward to something good. The thing about The Dark Knight was that I found it to be exactly what Ron just described as this one. I found it all to be very tense and very long. And like, when I walked out, I was exhausted.
Yep.
But just because you were really. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a movie that was more edge of your seat the whole time, where you're just like, ah.
Yeah.
I felt that less with this one, and I was kind of not looking forward to that anyway. So that was almost a relief. The thought that I came up with about this movie is, and if you looked, I got to look at the East Coast returns basically. So I got to see people say, that was amazing. That was shit. That was it was either or.
Yeah.
I mean, I was very surprised how, and I think that expectations have a lot to do with that.
Oh, absolutely.
My feeling about the movie was that it was very antiseptic. And by that, I mean that I really didn't feel much emotion. I felt the facsimile of emotion. I felt what was sort of that manufactured optimism and heroism that was on the screen, but I didn't really feel it very much. It was, from a technical standpoint, from an action movie standpoint, incredibly impressive as far as like the practical effects went beyond what was done in The Dark Knight, which is really saying something.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I love – and there is – there's absolutely a real world return for showing me something not with CGI,
but with
other stuff, and in a sea of what we all see constant CGI, it really stands out, and you're like, they're putting the dollars on the screen.
Yeah.
It's right there. You can totally tell, and that lends something to it. But at the end of the day, I didn't feel a whole lot, and I kind of wanted to, and I think that as we keep going through this, Christian Bale to me is now Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Like he's, I don't buy him as like he's not.
I've
bad.
Never bought just, him. I've never bought him as Bruce Wayne though.
Yeah,
I've loved him as Bruce Wayne. I think he's been the best Bruce Wayne has been for by far.
And that might be true, but like at this point, like I just kept seeing Christian Bale as this guy who's kind of strange. Acting as a part is kind of strange. So it does not fit. I don't know. Like all the parts are working, but it didn't really resonate with me.
Well, there were certain some weird choices. I don't know that this was a Batman movie.
Yeah.
Because the main character was John Blake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's whole stretches where you don't even see Christian Bale or Batman, for that matter. He's Batman very little in the movie.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing about John Blake, and I guess we're getting into this a little bit, is that I believe by making that into a mystery, that was a huge mistake.
Into what was a mystery?
It
was who's he going to be? They didn't list him in the credit. They got us all thinking about it, so we know it's going to be a thing.
Oh, I think it had the
I thought it was great.
I thought it was great. I didn't. And there. What I think.
I just knew a thing was coming. I didn't want to know.
That's a funny thing though, because we'll talk. I mean, it's hard to explain what happened in the movie. You know, like in terms of the story wise and all sort of things like that. I know we said we were going to spoil it, but there were several. There were several last third act revelations or reveals.
And those all worked for me except for his.
Hang on. There were several third act reveals that in retrospect, looking back on it, were as big as billboards and I should have gotten, and I completely didn't get any of them and they blew my mind.
No, I agree with that.
What's her name? Marion Cotillard, or whatever how you pronounce her name.
Well, that's not even close, but we'll go with it.
Boy, don't ever, ever, ever go to France.
Oh, I've been to France. It was amusing. Where's the champs, Ulysses?
Jesus.
But whatever name, her Cotillard, whatever.
Cotillard.
Move on.
The reveal of her as Talia was like, I might have slapped my forehead.
Yeah,
right.
Because that was fantastic.
That was fantastic, and then
really good.
And then the fight, and then all the like. I loved Jonathan Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
This is what it feels like, huh?
By the way, we totally spoiled the Talia thing because there was a 3:45 showing at our movie theater.
Oh, really?
And we came out of the theater talking about that, and people were like, people went, no, they covered their ears. We were like, it's 3:00 in the morning.
Bitch. So, sorry. But anyway, I loved his
character.
I loved Gordon Levitt's character. I thought he was great. And then the swerve at the end, you know, working in Robin, but in a real, you know, in a fine little way, and then having him pick up the legacy. It was great.
What's his last name, Robin?
No, his first name
was Robin.
His first name was Robin.
Yeah. And you know what? It was also interesting. I thought, and Connor, you can fact check me on this, but I thought it was really interesting of what elements they pulled from the comics and mixed into the pot.
Yeah, there was a lot of stories mixed in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there was definitely with Catwoman. You had elements of her area in year one. That was straight out of that.
You had
Dark Knight.
You had Nightfall. You had the whole
Nightfall.
Yeah. Which was pretty interesting.
Which was the crowd went crazy when that happened. Like because I was with nerds and so
yeah.
You had basically the Contagion No Man's Land storyline. No, yeah, Bane takes over Gotham.
Yeah. I was like, wow, we're watching No Man's Land. That's kind of cool. Cool.
Yeah, No Man's Land Cataclysm, not the earthquake, but the blowing of the bridges, like that whole thing. You had with Blake, I mean, he's essentially Jason Todd.
Kind of. He figured it out and went,
and all that stuff. Now, did Bruce leave him instructions to the cave? Like, is that what he picked up?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was.
Who's going to train him on all that stuff?
Yeah, I know. How did he?
Bruce had Lucius.
Yeah, I love Lucius. He's great.
Lucius is still around.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know.
You know,
Bruce also had years and years of training to fight in Chinese prisons all over the
healing his back and okay. Before I want to get to my nitpicks, the Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
I thought she was great.
Fucking fantastic.
She was fantastic. She was my favorite part of the movie.
And the dumb Catwoman costume was awesome.
Yeah.
Like everything about her, every little moment, everything worked. Everything was
she
great.
She played it really well and it was never the weak female character, was never, you know, super sexualized.
Yep.
you know, Cockette, really great, great character.
Complicated relationship with Batman and Bruce and all that, you know, like all that stuff. And additionally, my other thing that I love is that, like, I know this is it's almost too obvious to state, but Gary Oldman's Gordon will go down as the best Gordon ever. And I love how in all these movies
he's only competing with Michael Goff.
Sure, but I love how in all these movies he is the everyman caught in a ridiculous, like in Batman Begins with him in the Batmobile,
right?
Yeah. And now in this one, him like with the nuclear bomb.
No, but see, like, I thought,
whoa,
this one,
you know?
he was shown to be exceptional.
Yeah, he's great.
But you know, not really an everyman so much as like this guy's better than the rest, and there's a reason for it.
Yep.
And he carries the burden.
Yeah. Let us attempt to summarize the plot, which I think is possibly part of my issue with the movie, is that so when it opens, Batman's retired. No one's seen him. Bane is a terrorist, a mercenary for hire. Supposedly, he shows up in Gotham with an army. They're living in the sewers. They're building an army underground with old orphans from St. Swithin's and other places. And meanwhile, there's a bunch of political maneuvering to take out Gordon by some of his underlings. They want to usurp his power. And then Catwoman shows up, robs Bruce Wayne's house during a party that sort of jolts him back into the world where he finds out about Bane. Bane, it turns out, is actually the League of Shadows, the return of the League of Shadows in the first film.
Even before that, though, so Catwoman, she stole his mother's pearls, but she was after his fingerprints. And it's, okay, well, why was she after his fingerprints? Because it turns out that there was maneuvering on the board to take over Wayne Enterprises.
From a rival company that wanted to absorb Wayne Enterprises.
Yeah, exactly. So, and
the fingerprints, though, were to make him lose his fortune.
Right, exactly, and lose his stake in Wayne Enterprises. And that rival company hired Bane and his army to basically, you know, kind of terrorize the stock market in order so they could, you know, they could do the Bruce Wayne transaction, you know, rather dramatically, if you ask me. And then in doing that, the woman whose name I can't pronounce.
Tate.
She's emerged as somebody who's been supportive. Apparently, in the 8 years of his exile as Batman, they were developing a fusion generator to provide clean energy and, you know, kind of make the world better. And she was
Iron Man.
She was a support. Yeah, she was a supporter of that project. And
but it's also very much in the Ra's al Ghul Talia mold. I mean,
I
agree.
And so she was very much a supporter of that project. And at the same time, Alfred is trying to set Bruce up with her. And it gets to the point where Bruce, you know, has lost his fortune. He's got to protect his company, so he turns to her and says, I need you to take over as CEO. So she does that, and then all blows up in her face because she's Talia and she's trying to finish Ra's al Ghul's
To be fair, and that's only the first half. Alfred's trying to set up Bruce with anybody.
Yeah, he's like, just get out of the house.
He's just, what about her? She's nice.
No, that's not how he said it.
I
she's nice.
She's only 16.
Yeah,
Steve
Coogan has ruined Michael Caine for me. Especially in this one because he really hammed it up.
Yeah, I know.
He really did. He's like, and every time I look at that table, I expect you'll be there.
I got
Bruce.
And I love you. He goes to the Florence.
Left the movie.
No, when he goes, I go to Florence to have a Fernet Branca.
That's what you sound like saying French.
No,
but so, I was so mad he left the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, I think for me the problem.
You have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
My problems with the movie were that I thought it was overly plotted and that there was too much going on. Yeah. It was very complicated, and I like complicated, but I feel like I need to watch it a couple of times to really formulate my thoughts on it. But my first glance
really
was that there was a lot going on. A lot of characters you come for disappear completely from the movie, including the Batman.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce breaks his back. He goes sent to the prison that Bane came from, and where they use. Why don't we go to wherever that was to get our backs fixed? Because apparently they just string you up in a rope.
Wait, but even more so than that, it's like so this legend of Bane is told that he was raised in this prison that's in a pit that you can't get out of, and only, you know, and there was a lot of misdirection, and there was this child that climbed out of it and whatever, and you assumed it was Bane. Turns out it was actually Talia. And Bane brings Bruce and leaves him there. As far as I could tell, Africa, Morocco, maybe, like it seems
somewhere in the Middle East, probably, is where the Ra's al Ghul's.
And so my question is that how did Bane get Bruce there and back to Gotham so quickly? And then how did Bruce, after healing his back after a couple of weeks, and get back into fighting mode? How did Bruce get back to Gotham so quickly? It was just like.
You're resourceful.
Those are the least of the problems. Yeah. I did think he was in Blackgate. I was like, oh, they can't have gone for, no, they're in Australasia.
Yeah.
That was strange.
I did enjoy it. I don't want to sound like I don't. It was just bizarre. It was not what I was expecting. Yeah. And I think expectations play a lot into it. And it wasn't a bad thing. There was certainly moments where we cheered and clapped, and Scarecrow's cameo was nice. It was funny.
And what I loved was the weaving into this. Truly felt as this was tying the bow around all three of the movies. And the callbacks to the previous movies, the presence of Ra's al Ghul, and I thought they handled that well. How they handled the immortality aspect of it, the tying back to the League of Shadows, back to the first movie, which the second movie doesn't deal with at all.
Right.
Really what it is like the first movie set up the League of Shadows. The second movie builds up Batman and Gotham, and then the third movie, you know, kind of ties those two together, and that's how we get the resolution, which I thought was great. I thought the little callbacks to I feel like Gordon's the only person who didn't know who Batman was Bruce Wayne, and and how Batman revealed that was very
I am
nice.
Looking at her, Catwoman and Bruce standing there, and then like a scene later. Yeah. She's as close as him. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
It's the same guy.
Same mouth.
You're not wearing much more than him.
Yeah.
And he can tell who you are.
But he talks like this. I thought those kind of weaving in together was really, really well done. But it was challenging. Probably the biggest challenge for me, like we mentioned, was the shooting in New York because because I'm from New York and that sort of thing, but it's fucking New York.
It was really New York.
Right.
And like to the point they didn't cover up the subway signs. It was like, that's clear. And then like the whole thing was on the Queensboro Bridge. Yep. He's like, I'm going out to sea. I was like, no, you're going to Queens.
No, and I'll be honest. And, you know, like, and it sucks that we still have this lingering kind of thing after 9/11, stuff like that. But like I didn't like it in the trailers and I didn't like it up on the IMAX. But like the shots of the bridges blowing up.
Yeah.
Because that's how I get home. You know what I mean? It was a little tough pill to swallow.
Let's sidetrack for a second. You saw it in IMAX. I did not. How was it in IMAX? Apparently, it's a much more IMAX-y film than the last one.
Remember what I said? It was assaulting.
Yeah,
it was assaulting. It was.
But how much of it was shot for full screen?
A lot, way more. Like in The Dark Knight, it was I think it was just the bank robbery scene.
It was the bank robbery and the exterior shots.
I would say I probably noticed the full screen effect probably at least a third of the time, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was more of it that I just didn't pick up on. It was very loud, and that gets to this other thing. Like we walked out of the theater, and I said, I don't know if it's because I'm half deaf because of who I am, or because it was so loud in the IMAX, but I couldn't understand half the things Bane said.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah. Is one of the first things I noticed is that his voice never sounded diegetic. It never sounded like it's where it was. It was louder than everybody's voices, and it didn't sound like whatever room it was in. It always sounded exactly the same. Yep. And that seems like an enormous technical flub for a movie that is so meticulous.
Exactly.
Well, they changed it. Everybody freaked out with the original voice.
Yeah, I know, but there's a way to do, you know, either digitally or practically to make it sound like it's in the room where it's supposed to be. That's part of Foley and sound design. That's how it should work. And he always sounded exactly the same no matter where it was. If he was in a tiny room in the sewers that was all echoey, or he was on an airplane that should have been incredibly loud, it always sounded exactly the same.
Yeah. And I think Bane, I had the hardest time with Bane because I really like that actor, and I feel like it was a waste.
I didn't. I actually liked Bane a lot because I felt like he was a credible threat.
Yeah.
More than anybody. Because Batman's whole thing is he either is going to physically overpower you or mentally sort of underarm you with his confidence, and Bane had none of that, and it was just like, how does he beat this guy?
Yeah.
He didn't have the venom, he had the respirator, which was sort of like, no, if he takes it off, it hurts. And I was like, how does that work? Yeah. And then Batman broke it, and then she just snapped everything back into place.
Yeah, and it was all fine. Yeah.
and he was like, I'm okay now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's basically Batman. He's basically evil Batman.
Yeah,
yeah. What
the character was. He was trained by the same people. He's, you know, bigger and stronger. He's not as old and broken as Batman. I mean, Batman, there was a great scene in the doctor's office when Bruce Wayne gets a checkup and we find out all the problems with his body,
Lennon.
Yeah, Tom Lennon. But it was funny. I mean, he's not broken like Batman.
By the way, you put Tom Lennon in a scene like that. All anyone who knows who he is thinking, what the fuck is Tom Lennon doing?
I know, it was great.
It's not at the beginning. They did that in Dark Knight, like where they had relatively big actors in small parts. In the beginning, they had Tommy Carcetti, was like, hey, look, it's Getty.
There were two Wire actors, and then Bunny was on the
there was oh, yeah. in the beginning.
That's who that was.
The CIA agents from Game of Thrones. It's Littlefinger in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And the cop at the very end, the cop that wouldn't let them over the bridge, it was on Gossip Girl. Oh, well. So that's Upgrade.
I don't know. It's tough. I really do need to see it again because there were things I really did like about it, but then there were other things I was just kind of like, what? This is a weird.
For
a movie that was that long, I didn't feel like it dragged. I think I had a harder time getting through Dark Knight. I think that felt longer.
Yeah, no, I didn't have a problem with the length at all, and at no point did I get tired or anything. I was aware of the that it was long, but I didn't have a problem with it, if that makes any sense. But it's like I don't think it's a 5 in like a star rating. I mean, I think I would easily give it like at least a 4. Maybe 4.5, just from technical kind of thing and just kind of, you know, wonderment. But there, like, I still had little kind of things that bugged me about it. That's all.
I think the pinnacles for this is still The Dark Knight. It would have been really hard to overcome that movie. But the other thing is, like, you know, as villains go, Bane was great, but you know, there was no Heath Ledger as a Joker. You know.
Yeah.
I really did like his General Patton jacket, though.
In the way he always stood holding his collar. Yeah. I like the audacity of the fact that they basically said, we're taking all these characters that you loved in the last movie, we're basically dropping them in the middle of a war zone.
Right.
I just like that they basically just fucked with the whole world.
Yeah.
But it was tough.
Modine.
I wanted him to die so bad.
He was such a little prick. Oh God. And even more so, you don't understand, but you people, I'll clue you in on something. Matthew Modine must have his own PR agent who have been touting the fact that he's in this movie for months. Right? And it's just like, he was so annoying. So yeah.
But, that's not his fault. He does. Yeah. He probably doesn't even know.
Yeah.
Just people.
He's like, why am I talking to this shitty website? I'm fucking Matthew Modine. I was in Memphis Belle, motherfucker.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't. It's tough because I know people want from. I've asked me what my definitive thought of the movie is, and my thought is I don't know.
Right.
You know, I need to ruminate on it. I need to think.
You know, a lot of
good
times,
hours thinking today.
A lot of times, an album will come out, and people will immediately say, "Love it," "Hate it," whatever. And I find that the good ones, the ones that stick with you, at least the ones that make you think about them for a little while, are usually more rewarding in the long term.
Yeah.
And I feel like this could be that. It might not be. I know that I didn't walk out in love, you know, like other, you know, people were proclaiming greatest thing ever. And then there was that chestnut, better than the Avengers. It's like, well, they don't really compare.
Totally different
kind of movies.
I can tell you one thing. My first thought was I was way more entertained. I had way more fun at Spider-Man. That doesn't necessarily mean that was better. But that was what I thought.
Right? Yeah, they're totally different movies. They're totally different.
I think one of the big strengths this movie has is that the ending is so great.
Ending is great.
That you're on kind of a high from the ending.
Yep.
So when it ends, you're just kind of like, wow, that was awesome.
Yeah,
and the ending was so great.
And I will give the ending credit. I think it was a.
All right, let's talk about this. We said this is spoilers. So there's a bomb in Gotham. There's no way to disarm it, so they got to get it off. Batman's got his flying bat wing, and so he straps it on. He flies it off into the ocean. Which, by the way, everyone dead of cancer in 20 years.
Right? Yeah, that was my thought. My two thoughts is like, so what? He's going to drop it on Long Island, and then also it's like that's pretty close. Everyone's like that water is fucked, but still
Staten Island.
Now I will
there's
be
no
honest.
More surfing on the South Shore.
I will be honest. There was so they've got the bomb is in the truck. The time is running out. Talia revealed what they're going to do. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do. There was a moment where I fully expected Superman to come in and take it. I'm not even lying. I was like, they're not going to do this, are they? Because that would have been the last thing we would have expected, and it would have been fucking awesome.
It would have been such a MacGuffin.
Oh yeah, but it would have been great.
Not MacGuffin, but God in the Machine. You know what I mean? Deus Ex Machina.
But literally.
I know.
But talk
Red
about
Eric.
Talk about a lead into the next movie.
Yeah, but So he straps it on, flies it out, and then the whole subplot has been that this Batwing has a malfunctioning autopilot, so he can't put it on autopilot. He's got to fly it himself, and it blows up. And I was thinking, wow, if they just killed him, that's a really lame way to kill him.
Yep.
Also, you know,
it's just like Captain America. I got to take this plane down. You don't. Just get out of the plane. You're a super soldier. Swim. No. I'll see you later. But we got like 8 minutes. So how is everyone? We good?
You? And then Batman would have a way out, which is in the denouement, we find out that Batman and Catwoman or Selina and Bruce at this point, I guess they've abandoned their old lives, are now living on their, you know, in Italy or wherever they are, and he had actually fixed the autopilot without telling anybody. And I thought it was a really great, sort of nice, very ending. For everybody got a nice little ending.
Yeah, and what I think is the one of the strongest things about the ending, aside from Michael Caine blubbering at the graveyard, was the soundtrack to the ending. The music was I think that was the most notable. Like, it was that optimistic orchestral swelling. You know
what I thought was going to happen? So the whole thing was, in early in the film, Alfred says that every year that he goes to Italy and he sits in the same cafe and he hopes he'll see Bruce having a life. That's what he did when Bruce was missing there in the first movie. He went to Italy hoping he'd see him.
Grandkids, sir. That's all.
And so he goes to the same place at the end and he looks at the camera and does his little nod that he said he would do. And I thought, wow, they're not going to show us if he's actually seeing it or not. They're going to leave it to interpretation, but they didn't. But I thought the way they did it was also good.
No, it was good. I thought it was great. Now, I'm glad they didn't show it to interpretation. I mean, it proved it. I mean, and that was paired with Lucius finding out that Bruce had fixed the autopilot. And, you know, right. Like, it's – there was the thing about Bale's Bruce and Bale's Batman is that in each of the movies, there was always something that surprised you. Like, he pulled something off, you know, through his intellect and stuff like that, you know, like that. That was like, oh, wow. You know, like he, you know, and I didn't see it come. Like, when he flew off into the sunset and the bomb blew up, I thought he was dead.
I
expected him to die the whole time.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, Connor. I hadn't thought of that. Like, that is a lame way for him to die.
Yeah.
And then the other part of denouement was that John Blake, who we find out is Robin John Blake, he's given instructions. He ends up in the Batcave. And that's the last scene as you see him. He's walking through the water. The platform raises him up into the credits, and you know, that was it was pretty cool. I mean, he's not Robin, kind of. He's Batman, the new Batman,
right?
But he's Robin in the movie. He's basically Batman.
It's a nice nod to the legacy to Robin. You know,
he's Batman's helper through a lot of the film. So in that sense, he's Robin without being Robin. But
he's most like who's that detective? Slim? No.
Slam Bradley.
Slam Bradley. There is. No, it's funny because everybody's like, I think he's Tim Brake. I think he's not any of those things.
Yeah,
he's his own character. He's a new character.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
I thought there's a lot of, they weave things in really well, especially the last part. So, you know, it was good.
You can tell I'm
struggling.
Yeah.
What's really clear is that, you know, Warner Brothers is not going to wait more than a few years to do another Batman movie, but...
So is it going to be with Gordon Levitt?
Whoever does this is fucked.
Yeah, no. Schumacher, bring him back.
It's fucked. They're going to have to go a completely different tone. They're going to have to go pure superhero with Batman.
Yeah.
They're going to have to.
I wonder if they're going to do Superman and then try to do Justice League. Who knows?
I don't know, but they're fucked.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath.
I
have to recast everything every time because it takes so long to do it.
Yeah. Do you have plans to see it again? I'm seeing it in tomorrow, actually.
I want to see it in IMAX. I do That's something you can't recreate that in your home theater.
I'm seeing it in regular theater so I can hear what Bane said.
I do want to see it in IMAX. That's for sure. I went before.
Bane had a weird accent.
Yeah, it was.
He was always musing.
Yeah.
But did you think that there was something else? Oh, it could have been Bruce. Don't you see?
Yeah. No, it was just those some definitely interesting choices. They certainly made choices, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons why it's a little weird is because, again, what we talked about at the beginning is the shooting, and that we came out of the theater, and I'm on the West Coast. We came out of the shooting happened right before we went into the movie, but we didn't know about it, obviously.
It happened while you were in the theater. I mean, it happened
it was
during the movie.
We didn't go until after that, but because we assigned seats. But so we came out talking about the film. Obviously, I went with Mike Romo, iFanboy staff writer, and I went with Ben Simpson, former iFanboy writer, and I went with my girlfriend. And we were all talking about the movies, and then in line to validate our parking tickets, Ben checked his phone. And that's when everyone basically it was like a tidal wave of people in the lobby checking, you know, finding out.
Yeah, that's what happened. I mean, basically, what happened to me is that the movie finished. The Dark Knight Rises hit on the screen, and I immediately, because I'm the asshole, pulled out my phone, and I'm so clever, I tweeted, I stayed awake, because we were joking about whether or not we'd be able to stay awake or not, because we're seeing it at midnight, we're old, and that tweet posted, and then my app refreshed, and the first thing I saw was the BBC headline, and I clicked on it, and honestly, it was like I got deflated, balloon deflated.
And it changed the center of the conversation. We didn't talk about the movie anymore after that, and that's really, I think, may possibly we talked about a little bit, but not comparison to that.
And I'm saying this, and I don't mean to go back to our jokes. I don't laugh or whatever, but I've been thinking about it today as the day's been gone and trying to process it. And this is really what upsets me about this whole thing is that these past 10 years we've cultivated this midnight movie showing, movie premieres, excitement, you know, Comic-Con, geek culture, say what you will. All that stuff has been building. And honestly, I wasn't going to go at midnight. Like, I had no plans because I was like, I'm old, I'm tired, I got to work. And Josh Richardson, who's also a former sometime iFanboy contributor, had an extra ticket and said, hey, do you want to go? And I said, you know, fuck it. Josh Connor going, I'll go. Solidarity, let's do it. And I sat in the movie theater in the IMAX theater for like 2 hours. And I was thinking of this before the movie started. I was like, wow, this is really a haven. This is everyone here. Yeah. Like, I was wearing I got an Iron Man 3 AIM shirt at Comic-Con. I was wearing that, and I was in line at the concessions. And I was like, cool shirt, and asked me if I was at Comic-Con. We're all talking. Like, it reminded me of when I was a teenager and I used to go to hardcore shows, and I knew that everyone there was the same. We were all coming from the same cloth. And in that movie theater, it was different walks of life, different jobs, different ages, stuff like that. Everyone is, we were all together for one reason, coming together for this movie, for the love of comics, for the love of movies, and all that sort of things. And with this one act, that entire haven now is threatened.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, like, we were talking about it because in our theater, in fact, right in front of us walking in was a girl dressed as Harley Quinn with two giant guns. And it's just like, you don't even think twice at this point because we're also, I mean, we literally had Comic-Con last weekend where people walk, probably thousands of fake guns walking around there. Yeah. And you don't even think about stuff like that. And they pulled her out of the line, security, and we're like, oh, they're going to check her guns. No, they want to take a picture with her.
Yeah.
And it does shatter that illusion, that one last sort of illusion you've got in this, as you say, the safe haven to go see these movies, and it completely shatters it now, you know?
Yeah,
it changes the whole. I mean, partially why I'm not quite sure what I think is because I'm so wrapped up in everything else at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, and the thing is that ultimately, at the end of the day, like, you know, like whoever this guy did, whatever he did, he had some problems. He has some, you know, like some, you know, obviously some mental kind of thing, and it's awful, and it's an awful thing that has happened. But I really hope that. You know, I really hope that it doesn't detract from what which I firmly believe the three of us have participated in building this wonderful culture that we all enjoy, and the actions of one nut job to threaten all that. Like, I would hate to think of that. So, you know, so hopefully this doesn't have, you know, large ramifications. You know, be curious to see if people don't go to the movies this weekend, like, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, so.
Right.
You know, what's interesting is that because I was on the East Coast, I didn't know anything about it until, you know, I woke up. So I got to just sort of experience the end of the movie, whereas you two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part and parcel. With me, it sort of is, but it isn't the same. You know, I watched it, I went to bed, I woke up, then I heard about everything.
Yeah.
It's just sad. I don't, you know, I have no, people, you keep people say, I have no words. And it's true. Like, there's nothing, there's, you know, anything, you know, trying to relate it to the movie is probably ridiculous directly, you know.
Yep.
Anything. It's just sad. And it's interesting because comics is they're tempestuous but a very tight-knit family,
right?
And we all have remarkable ownership of the things, and it feels, you know, and there are other people who come into it, but the comics people, the sort of pop culture guru kind of folk, you know, these are the religious experiences that we have in a way.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah.
And, you know, say what you will, but you're always going to think of this.
Yep.
When you think of this movie, and even so, you know, the movie itself, like if you were to go back and see the movie, you're going to start making all sorts of parallels.
You can't not. Yeah.
You can't not, you know, you were seeing 9/11 parallels, which is impossible not to.
Yeah.
And you know, there's dudes with, you know, shooting lots of guns all over the place in the movie.
Partially to Connor's comment about it being like a disaster war film. We were talking about it as we were walking out. I don't know if it was influenced by what happened. It must have been. It was a very violent movie. There were a lot of people died in this movie. There was a lot of violence in this movie.
I don't think it was any more violent than the other ones.
That was one thing that struck me during the movie, and that was part of, and maybe because it was IMAX, it was in my face and the assaulting. But I just felt
I have a hard time with IMAX just in general. Yeah. It's too much.
Yeah.
just, It's not a cinema thing. It's insulting. It's exactly what you say.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's rough, but I've been bummed out. I was bummed out. You know, I came home and I wrote the post for iFanboy, and then I'm like, all right, let me get some sleep. And I was up for a good while. And
yeah,
you know, it's awful. It's like, because the thing is that, like, honestly, like, I've lived, and now we're getting, this is some real hashtag real talk.
That was awful.
I know. Tongue in cheek. But I mean, you know, Connor and I grew up in, you know, Connor grew up in New York City proper. I grew up on Long Island. I spent a lot of time in New York City itself as a kid, you know, in a metropolitan area. You know, I lived in San Francisco for 5 years. You know, whether right or wrong, I never feel unsafe in my cities. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I'm aware, you know, even though I know all the things you do, and you, like, you know, like, I, you know, I've been very lucky. I've never been, you know, been mugged or, you know, Connor, you've got stuff that happened to you and stuff like that. But it's like, I've never felt unsafe. I walked out of the Metreon onto 4th Street in San Francisco, and I was worried about getting home.
Yeah.
Like, I was like immediately calling. I had an app out. I was trying to get a car because I'm like, I don't feel safe right now.
And it's really interesting. And
that's what fucking.
Because it's a Batman movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and the whole point of Batman is a person who doesn't want anybody to ever feel like that again.
Yep.
Yeah, it's
and he's obsessive. He'll do anything, literally anything, so that to stop one person forever having to feel like that and unsafe.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that if I was thinking about this earlier. If you start to think about what it is about Batman that truly endures, that keeps people coming back in all different ages and forms over all, it's that, you know, this, it's a regular person. They're going to do whatever they can to help keep you safe, and that's such a comforting idea.
Yep.
That's such an ideal that we want to live up to, that we want to have, and that's to me that's a really good thing to take away from everything if you can.
Yeah.
That makes it much all the more tougher, I think.
Maybe
in that it was a movie about a hero like that, full of people. There were, you know, as young as 6 who were shot, and that's, I think, it was even the worst part about it. Yeah. There's a little kid there, maybe even in a Batman T-shirt. And then, you know, something like that happens. It's just, it makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, it's bad enough as it is.
Yeah.
And then the fact that, you know, there's so many kids were, you know, it's just awful.
Yeah. This is probably a bad time, but I just realized I thought of it. But I thought this movie was probably the most Frank Miller-y of all them. Yeah,
little kids.
Like, I, no, exactly. I just thought of it. No, but I mean, like, because it did have echoes of Dark Knight Returns. You know, and like, and especially the moment where he says no guns and all that sort of stuff. Like, I just thought it was very, you know, like, I thought it was interesting in that.
They were underground. Awesome.
I just think I really appreciate, even if I was a little perplexed that he really did have the guts to just fuck with the whole formula.
Yep.
And so in that sense, I really do appreciate the you know, this is my third movie. I'm going nuts with it, and he did.
Yeah. Yeah, so
but
I don't know. Well, it's an awful black cloud over it, and after the Heath Ledger thing, which I think this is way worse, but like, these movies seem to have some curse or some related to it. I mean, there's no way that this isn't woven into the legacy of this movie, but I just hope it's not a black mark on it for the but it will be. So it's sad. But yeah. So
all right. Well, that's the most down note we've ever ended a podcast.
Exactly.
On.
But the most important thing is that, you know, everyone is here. Be thankful for where you are. Hug your loved ones. You know, be careful out there. And you know, I don't know. Just be thankful for everything we have. That's, I know I am. So right on.
All right. So go to iFanboy.com. You can talk about the movie, what you thought. Will be comment section under the post for this show, and you can tell us what you thought. Also, Paul Montgomery, our resident movie reviewer, wrote another great review of the film, so you can check that out. He always does these reviews great justice. And you can check out our weekly podcast, the Pick Week Podcast, where we talk about the week's books, and you can just come to iFanboy.com for all kinds of great content having to do with comics. And this is our last, well, I guess we'll do Dread, maybe.
Oh, I'll totally do Dread, dude. I'll totally do Dread.
Yeah, I think I might do Dread.
There's more comic book movies, aren't there? I always do this at the end of every show.
I was really looking forward to G.I. Joe, and that was just...
Yeah, next year, so...
Well, pulled out from...
Is it really just, is Dread the only last one?
I think Dread's the last one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We do this every time in every show. Or like, is there not another Ghost Rider on the...
No Ghost Rider. I think Dread's the last one we were interested in seeing.
Red Sonja? Is that happening?
No. And so next year it'll be Superman. It'll be the Man of Steel will be the big one, the big release next year. Next summer.
Isn't Iron Man 3 coming out next year?
Yeah, but Superman's gonna be the one where everyone's gonna be like, "What's gonna, you know, Iron Man 3, I'm not excited about anymore after Iron Man 2.
Because there's not as much mystery, right?
But not as mystery.
Iron Man 2 was awful.
Iron Man 2 was just terrible. So yeah. I'm worried about Iron Man on his own.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Right.
So we'll see. Superman looked good. Granted, it was a really short trailer with no dialogue. It was all voiceover from Russell Crowe's Jor-El. And Superman on like a fishing boat, and then you saw him very briefly flying through the air in a suit. That was about it. There was not much, not much to see. But
you know, it's funny. I was all ready to be like to be like, so you know, is Dark Knight going to beat Avengers in box office and all this stuff? And now I just don't care.
Yeah, I didn't care anyway. But yeah. It's not going to beat it. It's you know, it's a juggernaut. But
not going to work anymore. Okay. So until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. Thank you.